God, here in the silence, in the stillness, we come to seek you. Different backgrounds, different ages, some of us praying, some of us babbling, and some of us saying nothing at all, but still you hear us. So would you hear us and would you speak to us today? Help us to know your voice, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks. So can we turn on just a little bit? Thanks, Dave. Well, good morning, everybody. The last 2 weeks, we've been working through some reflections just at the start of the year on a theological idea that is very core to the life that we share as followers of the way. We've been reflecting on God and offering a bit of an introduction to God, like a leading into, for some of us, an introduction to maybe language about God that for the first time we've ever heard, that maybe feels coherent. And for many of us, an introduction to the idea of God. Maybe we've had many encounters with God, known God very deeply, but there can be new ways of maybe framing that or hearing that or introducing that, the idea of who God is, that can be helpful for us as we maybe grow and mature in our faith, or as we have taken things apart and seek to rebuild, or as we just seek to hear from God's Spirit in a new way. And I've really enjoyed it, so thanks. It's been fun. I've gotten to draw pictures. I won't draw pictures every week. That's way too much. But for these 3 weeks, it's been nice to be able to just do things a little different and take a bit of a different tone. So thanks for being along for this ride. The first week, we reflected on an introduction to the idea of God. It's kind of God in the grandest of senses, or what in Trinitarian theology we'd call God the Father, or God the Creator, God the Source. We talked last week with an introduction to the idea of Jesus. Jesus both as the human person and also Jesus as the second person in the Trinity, as the very substance of God taking on flesh and blood as the Word made flesh. This week we're going to look at an introduction to Spirit and reflecting on both Spirit as a general biblical category, which will be maybe a little foreign for some of us, but I think we can find some ways to translate that that might be helpful. But also an introduction to the idea in particular of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus sends and who comes right from the source, from the Father, to each one who calls out and indwells in us and lives in us and is our permanent link to that which is beyond that which is God, that who is God. But before we do that, going to read from our gospel text for this morning. Going to be reading from the gospel according to John chapter 14. As I've said on other weeks, there are pew Bibles scattered about. You are more than welcome to read along. However, I'm also going to just read it nice and slow. So you're welcome to close your eyes and just allow the words to wash over you and chew on them in that way. All right, a reading from the gospel according to John chapter 14, verse 8 to 20. For context, this takes place just before Jesus will be betrayed, arrested, falsely accused, executed. And so in his last meal with his disciples and his friends, he says this to them. Philip, one of the disciples, Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and for us, that suffices." Jesus said to him, "I am with you for such a long time, Philip, and you have not known me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I utter to you, I do not speak from myself. For the Father, abiding in me, performs his works. Have faith in me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else have faith on account of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I tell you, whoever has faith in me The works I perform, he will perform also, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you request in my name, this I will do, so that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I shall entreat the Father, and he will give you another advocate that may be with you throughout the age, the Spirit of truth, which the cosmos cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows it. You know it because it abides with you and will be within you. I shall not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. Just a little while, and the cosmos no longer sees me, but you see me. Because I live, you too will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we got Jesus this week getting pretty woo-woo, if I do say so myself. This is the kind of stuff that if you read to some brands of like the church that's like, Jesus never says anything strange or mystical, if you read this, they'd be like, that's from somewhere else. You made that up. Because what he's saying is so rich, so poetic, so beautiful. And he's saying, as I say this to you, you're not going to understand it. But hold on, and something will enter you, and it will illuminate. It will make sense of what I am saying. And when you encounter that word, you will know that what I have said is true. And when you know what I've said by my word, then you will also know that you are in me, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and the Father is in you. And all things have been brought together in oneness. But since this is a little big and abstract, and since I've had fun doodling in church, we'll draw five more pictures for this. If you haven't been around the last few weeks, every sermon for these three sermons, I've made these little pocket zines, and you can grab them on your way out. There's a few last week left that are an introduction to the idea of Jesus. This is an introduction to the idea of Spirit. And there was we ran out of copies of the first weeks, but I'll have those here next week. So we'll keep these kicking around if anybody wants to open them up and chew on some pictures and a few words. Okay, so speaking of a few words, let's break down our pictures. Apologies, I know it's not super easy to see, but hopefully we can track with it. Okay, a few words on each one. First, what is a spirit? What is spirit? Spirits are above people. We've talked about all of creation being like a mountain. You know, with all these different names that are ascending and everything organized. Within the biblical imagination, you see this in the Psalms, you see this in other places in Scripture, the authors, the humans, will say that God made us just below the angels, or just below the spirits, or the gods, made us just below the spiritual beings. God, remember, is beyond all creation. God is not in the circle. God's infinitely on, and yet infills the circle. But within this circle, within created beings, there are, and we'll represent it here by a little cloud, there are spiritual beings, I'll put an S for spirit, there are animals, I'll draw a little cat. I don't even like cats, but they seem the most animal, you know? So I put a C for cats. It's not just cats who live below us in creation, though they should stay there. Don't let your cat get too comfortable. Animals and creation in general. And then here in the center, we've got this strange place of the human being. The human being has the soul, the imago Dei. No other animals like the human being. And here's how you know it. None of them write poetry. Not even one of those smart dolphins out there being like, ah, 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 that was a haiku. Not one of them doing poetry with the others. which is not to knock the dolphins and the whales and the birds. They all speak, they just don't speak like we speak. They all reflect, they have spirit, but they don't have an imago quite like we do. So we live above the animals in that sense of perception. But we know less and we see less than the angels or the spirits. And that can be a hard thing for us to understand, but even think about, you know, if you just want a starting point, ancient people looking at the night sky when all those stars were there, learning mathematics, learning geography, just by looking up at the possibility of points in the sky, the potential for logic and algorithm and beauty and poetry and wonder. And where was all of that located? Above them. And if somebody here is like, it's not above them, it's in every direction, and stars, and it's all just billowing balls of gas. It's like, yeah, that's like watching Shakespeare and being like, that's a piece of cardboard, it's not the moon. You know, it's like, for almost everyone, for all of human history, this was by far the easiest way for God to explain angels. He's like, look at the stars, these are angels. We get to see the props because we took everything apart, and that's fine. But let's not for a moment stop listening to Shakespeare just because we know that we were given a set to play out this performance on. It's all still representing what it always represented. The spirits are above people. You could think of that as sociological categories. You could think of that as trends which are above people, nation states, all sorts of things. But let's just stick with biblical language. Spirits are above people. Now, what's a spirit like? Well, we'll draw our little person here. She's just out on a walk. She's having a great time. But then overhead, there's all this scribbling something that connects into her mind. Ah! In the biblical imagination, spirits speak words to people. Spirits speak words to people. I mean words here in the fullest sense, and if you want more of a primer on that, go back to last week's sermon. But the idea that as we walk around, the meaning that we receive in life, the meaning that we project outward, what things mean when they come to us, all of that invisible space between what occurs and what we sense, between the action and our response, in that space within the ancient mind, there was a sense that there was a spirit. And if what you were seeing was in line with your spirit, you would give thanks. And if what you're seeing or encountering was out of step with your spirit, the spirit above you, you would most likely resist. Does that make sense? Like even just theoretically, as kind of modern people, I know that's hard to wrap our minds around, but as a theory, does it make sense that as you're walking around, words, narratives, things that come to you, that pop into your mind, they would have thought was a spirit or spirits speaking to you? We're tracking? Okay, so now we'll try to translate a little bit. Ideas are like spirits. So if ancient language of spirits feels too far a stretch, and I don't think it needs to, and I don't think it necessarily should, but I understand that it often does. So if that feels too mythic, let's just change our lexicon for a moment and talk about this in psychological terms. What is an idea? When you're walking around thinking about an idea, like, what is that thing? And how can an idea start to influence us? We don't often reflect on this, but you know, here's our girl. She's just walking down, you know, King Street in Hamilton. She's smiling, but she's got all these thoughts. Like, on the one hand, in her head, we'll draw like a hamburger, and she's thinking about it. You know, she's thinking about a hamburger because she's a real foodie. She's like, I'm a foodie. That foodie is like an idea. I'm a foodie. And what does a foodie do? Well, as I walk down the street, I'm thinking about what am I going to eat for lunch? And it better be something good. And what's been tracking on, you know, the apps? And so she's checking the apps. She's trying to figure out what's the best place to eat my meal because I'm a foodie. Well, I mean, you could say that she's choosing to go to a restaurant on the one hand. But on the other hand, you could say once someone's a self-described foodie, some choices have already been made for them. They're not going to McDonald's, unless they're a real foodie, my kind of foodie, excellent taste. But no, they're probably choosing based on a range of concepts that have come to them based off the idea in their mind that they are a foodie. You could put another little circle here, boop, boop, boop. Maybe she's also, like, maybe she's into TV. She's into some new TV show. So you're walking around, you're thinking about the TV show. You run into people, and what words come out of your mouth? Have you seen this new TV show? And if you really like the show, you might buy, like, a shirt or a hat or a flag for your favorite TV show. So when you march around, everybody knows what you're in. No, you wouldn't buy a flag for a TV show. Yet. Give Netflix another decade, we'll have flags on cars. No, we won't. We won't. That's, even I know that's not true. But you can, or think about this one. You know, if we're thinking about ideas that move people and groups, think about that almighty dollar. I need to make money. My rent is expensive. My bills are high. I must make money. Well, what does money tell us? If you don't have money, you're in trouble. Or maybe some of you have. If you don't have money, you are failing. If you have money, you will be happy. You just need a little more money. You could walk through days, weeks, and months of your life. There are people that live years of their life only pursuing the idea of money. How do I get it? It's not being mean to them. It's not like they're awful people. They're just possessed by an idea that they think will lead to freedom, but it's a false idea, and it will not lead to freedom, and in the end, it will betray. And I know spirits is strange language, but how different is it to say some people walk around every day possessed by the idea of money from Jesus saying some people walk around every day possessed by the idea of mammon? A word he uses for money that seems to carry not just the material elements of money, but the idea of money. So if we want to translate the idea of spirits for the sake of our sermon today, maybe think of it as ideas for a while and see if that brings some clarity or maybe a way into the fuller concept of spirits. Okay, just a few more little pictures. If you can't see, I'm drawing a bunch of clouds down here. Drawing a bunch of people down here, stick figures at the bottom. It's taking me a while because there's quite a few stick figures. There's a lot of people in the world. I'm drawing every person that's ever existed right here. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. All right, and then our little squiggle lines connecting these clouds to these people, and these clouds to each other. So spirits speak words to people. Ideas are like spirits. They transform us. This is what spirits do. Spirits cohere people. Ideas cohere people. Ideologies cohere people. We speak words, we name an ideology with a name, and then by gathering around that ideology, we all give the name attention, and the more attention we give to that name, the more it reflects to us, the more that word seems to build a bit of energy around it, and the more people are around the energy that we have named as sort of a spirit or an idea, the more it shapes them. If you play poker every week, it's not a bad thing, but if your poker becomes your identity, you'll start wearing sunglasses inside and carrying briefcases and you look like a weirdo. That's like a low-key example. But there are all sorts of ideas or spirits that can transform us. Political ideology has stolen from people in this room relationships that were important to them. Family members who got locked in an idea that turned them into a different kind of person. I hear these stories quite a bit these days. Ideas that can get locked in our minds about who we need to become or what we need to do in order to be a good person, in order to be even a good Christian, can distort us, and ideas and spirits can elevate us. Meditating on the life of Jesus lifts us up. Being in coherence around a community that is practicing forgiveness and humility allows us to grow and mature and become more ourselves as we offer up our life to something higher. Whatever idea or spirit we surround, it will spiral us. It will spiral us down into despair or up the mountain into light. There is no neutral idea. There is no way to avoid living this reality. from my humble perspective and from the great tradition 2,000 years that's a little less humble, but still says it a little humbly. This isn't really like a, this isn't necessarily a do you agree or not agree statement. It's saying this seems to be how it works. It might be off in certain ways. There's tweaking that could be done, but more or less, this is how it works. People are under spirits. Spirits are under, ultimately, Christ. All of them stretching up or blocking us down. You know, spirits can elevate us if they're light and goodness, and spirits can hold us down or darken us if they're not serving God. There are faithful spirits and there are fallen spirits. When the Bible talks about angels, this is sort of what it's getting at. There are spirits that operate like icons. Icon is a Greek word for image. And when you look at an icon, it's supposed to shoot you up, kind of up the hierarchy. You look at a beautiful piece of art, it's an icon to see through to God's glory. You hear beautiful music, it's an icon to hear through it beautiful music. But when any spirit or idea becomes corrupt, it wants all that attention only for itself. So now you are not a congregation for the flourishing of the world and the good of God's global church. We're now a church about us and how great we are. Ah, wouldn't that be awesome? It's just how great our congregation is. That would be a fallen angel, and what could be an icon calling us up becomes an idol that keeps us locked where we are. All right, last picture. God, drawing a G and a D on both sides of this circle, God sends us, actually, Christ, God ultimately, but Christ sends us his Spirit. Christ sends us, boo, boom, boom, boom. I drew him like he's getting hit by lightning, like bzzz. Christ, you can't see that, but from outside the circle, comes down, boom, directly to us, a different spirit, a Holy Spirit. The word holy means set apart, so a spirit that is unlike all the spirits within the cosmos, all these kind of clouds and ideas that are floating overhead. From far beyond there comes a set apart spirit that cuts right through all the other clouds, all the other spirits, all the other ideas, direct from the infinite to us through the person of Christ, who has become the name above all names. And as we look up to Christ and meditate on who he is and seek to live like he lived, loving others and loving God, as we do that, we receive from God a spirit that is of the infinite one, right inside of our little mortal frame. And we walk around every day within this creation, tethered to the infinite. You know, like going deep underwater when they just have those long hoses of oxygen all the way up to the surface. That's like us every day, spiritually. You know, just sort of boom, boom, just tight oxygen all the way up to the realm above. Spiritually, this is what is occurring when we receive the Holy Spirit. We are being linked to the very idea of Christ through a living spirit who speaks words to us and always calls us further into light, further into life, further into flourishing for the good of the entire creation and the reconciling of all things. Amen. So that about clears it up. This is the end of these sermons. Let's try to bring this maybe down to a more practical level. Jesus says, ask whatever you wish in my name, and I will do it. Ask, and if it coheres in my name, and is spoken in my name, I will respond. I will give you the word back. And I love that Jesus doesn't say, like, get it all together and then ask. He says, ask and abide in me. But ask, like as you're abiding in me. Pray, ask, seek, knock, and you will hear. The door will be opened. I will, as he says, I will manifest myself to the one who asks. And so for all of us in this room listening, I guess the only question is, do we want to ask? Do we want to see God? And I understand life is busy, and there are commitments, and there are distractions, and there are other things to worry about, and all of that can be what it is, and I don't negate any of it for a moment. But do we want to see God? Do we, like Philip, say, show us the Father, show us your own face, Christ, come among us somehow by your Spirit, speak to me in a way I can understand. There's the offer. Jesus' own words, not mine. Seek, ask, knock, and you will find the one you are searching for. And even if you're not ready right now, or you forget when you leave the church today to ask, you don't need to wait till you leave to ask. You can ask like right now if you want to, but even if you forget, here's the other good news. The Spirit's still coming to you. Like, even if you're like, I'm too busy, I have nothing, I don't have time for these spiritual thoughts, the Spirit of Christ is still reaching to you. It's like the sunbeams from the sun. No matter where you go, and whether you're turned away from it, whether you're indoors, deep in the basement, playing too many video games, like whatever you're doing, the light is still shining. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are with God, whatever you think, and wherever your heart is, please hear this. The revelation of who the infinite God is was the person of Jesus. And the person of Jesus, before he spoke these words, washed the feet of his followers who would deny him, and even the feet of his follower who would betray him. Jesus is always reaching out in love. And he says, it's good for me to go, because Jesus could only ever reach out to one person at a time with his love in a body. Maybe a small little circle of friends. But in a very real way, now by his Spirit, Jesus reaches out to you and washes your feet and sits with you in your story and speaks to you what you need to hear. May it be so. Amen.